Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, a dad's point of view on KZSB AM 1290. My show is broadcast live every Thursday at 11 a.m., and it's rebroadcast every Thursday evening at 9 p.m., and again on Saturdays at noon. We are having a special show with special guest Sherry Coben, and we are talking about family movies, and we had a bit of an overview in our first segment, but now I'd like to talk about, with Sherry, about some of the family movie models that have been around, and I will put out the three subjects, and we'll see if we can get to all three in this segment. There is the Disney model. There is the John Hughes model, and more recently, and maybe more problematically, there's the Judd Apatow model. So I will turn it over to you. Let's talk about those models, Sherry.
Well, I mean, most people would assume that leaving a kid in a room alone with a Disney movie would be just fine. They're pretty good babysitters, I suppose. I didn't tend to do that very much, not because I have anything against Disney, but just because I don't really like television as a babysitter. But that is, of those three models, the one that's probably their sort of safest one. That said, it's
even though Bambi terrified me.
Oh, that's nightmare food forever, but the kind of nightmare food that I think kids need. There's something Bruno Bettelheim talks about fairy tales and how the reason that there are fairies and witches is that kids are afraid anyway, and to exercise all those fears and to work them out in fairy tales in a sort of safe place is a good thing. Kids are terrified of losing their parent. One of the things that those movies where the parent is lost allow a child is to see that they'd have adventures and they'd be okay. It's a safe place to experience that fear, and it also allows a kid to have an adventure, because if the parent's alive, nothing happens to the kid. They're basically in bubble wrap.
I'd never thought of it that way. It makes so much sense. But
that said, my own daughter, her first movie was Bambi, and we left in the middle because she was just sobbing hysterically and couldn't stand it. So,
very, very interesting. Yeah. So you saw it in one of the seven-year reissues.
Yes, we did.
When they used to do that.
Yeah.
That's no more.
Which is just fine, because that was traumatic. It's hard enough on a small screen reasonably small screen.
Well, in segment one, we talked about now and then and some of the values now and then. But one of the things I think that's changed with the Disney model, and I may be wrong as to the movie, but in the early movies, it was always the mom that died. And then I think with Lion King, it was the first one where the dad was gone. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's correct or not, but they became an equal opportunity killer of parents.
It's true. Well, there were a lot of just plain old orphans from Shirley Temple days on. Like I said, there's a need for that, because if you have an intact family, nothing happens to the kid.
It'd be boring.
And you know, Shirley
although that was the province of television.
Television does intact families so much better than movie ever bothered to do, because there's just not big stakes. There's not big danger that, you know.
You have 22 minutes and you want to make jokes.
And you have a family that's ongoing and you see them again, so you don't have to have something big happen. In a movie, generally, something big has to happen. For something big to happen in a movie, the parents basically have to not be there, or it has to be World War II or something big, some stakes.
And they'd be separated, like in Finding Nemo.
There you go. And or Sophie's Choice, the worst family movie probably, but yeah.
Oh my God, Sherry.
No,
I get the shudders.
When we first started talking about family movies, and I was thinking about movies about parents and about parenting, not necessarily for children to watch with their parents, but for and how few movies there really are that do a good job about parenting, regardless of whether you'd want your kids to watch them or not.
Well, let's continue on the Disney movies and talk about some of the ones that you think were among the better ones.
The Incredibles was great. I mean, the Pixar Disney is going to top the list for me, because all the standard fairy tale stuff, the women are a little – I don't have sons like you do. I have daughters, and I was a little wary of the princess model. Not that meeting a nice guy and getting married isn't a nice part of your life, but it shouldn't be the end of it. And
Cinderella is not at the top of your list?
Not the top. No, she's a little drippy even for most kids. I like the plucky heroines later on. I mean, Little Mermaid was lovely, and even though, you know, she was plucky at first, at least. And then Beauty and the Beast, at least she read and was plucky. But a lot of them are just plain drippy. and they were not good role models. I
don't want you to hold back, Sherry. What do you really think?
I love Disney, and God knows we tithed to them practically for years and years and years.
It is remarkable, though, how Pixar has had a 1,000% batting record. It's unheard of in Hollywood.
And they deserve it because they're actually good. And, I mean, you know, I cannot tell you. I love movies, and I loved taking my kids to movies, but there are some that my husband and I would literally flip a coin, like who has to go see Fairy Tale, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was great aging out from that, having to see everything, because, but there were, Disney films were not a hardship exactly, but some were pretty lame.
I have a wonderful skill that helped me through those years, especially when I was a single parent, so I had nobody to pass it off to. But I am able to fall asleep within about 3 minutes if the movie hasn't engaged me. Mm. So it was always a great nap for me. And my younger son would just be so irritated when I was sleeping. He wanted me to watch it with him. And then, of course, I snore. So that's just embarrassing,
just
beyond belief. Well, continuing on with the models, another model that was certainly prevalent for a while was John Hughes.
Yeah.
And why don't you talk about that?
Certainly, I mean, for teenagers, I think that's a good model. I wouldn't necessarily let little kids watch them because they're actually, if you rewatch a lot of them, they're pretty vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, vulgar by what standards? In those days?
My standard. No, but I mean, also, I happen to have seen 16 Candles recently, and I think if he had the chance to recut it, he might. It's really racist. And, like, you probably don't remember those parts as well.
Yeah.
But
I don't. There's
some Asian stuff that's really, like, ghastly. Hmm. But I mean, the family dynamics are fine. And, it's from a kid point of view. And some of them are great. You don't necessarily want to prepare your little kids for high school by showing them Breakfast Club. But if you're already there, it's kind of John Hughes, to me, was very effective at making kids feel, like, heard and validated.
For my boys, it was a rite of passage to see the musical sequence of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
As it should be.
I adore that sequence of Wayne Newton's Donkashin and the Beatles' version of Twist and Shout beyond belief. And they did see that.
Yeah.
They also have sadly saw the sequence with the car, and they have had taste in cars at that level ever since, so they will have to make a lot of money. Continuing on with models, and speaking of vulgarity, let's talk about Judd Apatow. Or is it Apatow?
I don't know, but I don't think he's for kids.
Okay, but my kids love his movies.
Which ones?
Everyone.
Really?
They love it.
Well,
and
yeah, yeah.
I remember one of the movies that I went to with my younger son was R-rated, and he was only 12 or so at the time, and I felt like an absolute horrible parent as they were talking about every perverted sexual thing possible. He, of course, is not understanding it, but then he asked me questions later like, hey, Dad, what's a threesome?
Yeah.
And there is a reason to pay attention to those ratings, but his movies did start, I think, a pretty significant change, although I guess something about Amelia – what is it? No, something – there's something about Mary. Something about Amelia,
movie. I took my third grader to that one. That was a mistake. Not for her, but because her third grade teacher happened to be in our row and she was mortified. Not the teacher, my daughter.
So, that's funny. Yeah. But that movie, I think, was the first real new barrier breaker.
Oh, yeah. And I – like I said, I use those lapses in my own judgment as a teaching opportunity. And usually the stuff that's over their head stays over their head. And if it doesn't, then it's an opportunity to talk about it. It's not like I'm exposing them on purpose to things. But there were certain movies that were big like that one that I thought, they'll either get it or they won't, but we'll talk about it if they don't.
Hmm. Very good. Well, we're going to continue with our family movie special show shortly after some commercials. It's time for a break. You are listening to The Bruce Salen Show with Dad's Point of View on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.